Thank you, Brother James. Go to Revelation chapter 1 with me. That song that he sang, written by John Newton. And he wrote many, many good songs. And that's the words are excellent. And I appreciate you singing that. That's a great song. Revelation chapter 1. I take my text from the first statement of the first verse of the first chapter. Here's the title of the message, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation means a supernatural disclosure. The root word is reveal. And literally it means to unveil or to take the cover off of something so you can see it. To take the cover off of something so you can see it. The word revelation actually comes from a Greek word which literally translated into the English language, it would be apocalypse. And most everybody's heard that word at some time or another. We're in for a great apocalypse. Well, usually when people use that word apocalypse, they mean that there's going to be some kind of cataclysmic destruction at the end of the world. And I'll tell you, there is going to be something catastrophic. There is going to be a cataclysmic destruction at the end of this world. Now, that is for certain. Go back to 2 Peter with me, if you would. The book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. Revelation. Apocalypse. Revelation chapter 3. Here's what Peter has to say in the third chapter. He says, "This second epistle, beloved," verse 1, "I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Now verse 5 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Yes, there is going to be a cataclysmic end to this world. Notice what he says in verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." God doesn't measure. Time is nothing to God. He created it for us. And in this little sliver of time, which is in the middle of eternity, the vastness of eternity. It's in this little sliver of what God calls time and what we need, what we live in. This is the day of God revealing His grace to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a time ordained of God for redemption and reconciliation of sinners. This is that time when the word of the gospel goes forth. These last 6,000 years since God created this world, the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, salvation by substitution, by the death of a suitable substitute in the stead of the guilty, in these last 6,000 years the message has been going forth, and it does continue to go forth to this day, and it will still go forth unto the last day, but the end is coming. The end is coming. But he says in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is, here's what Peter is saying. Before this great cataclysmic end arrives, God will show mercy. He will give repentance to all of His people. He is not willing that any of His people shall perish. And if He is not willing that any of His people shall perish, then none of His people shall perish. This is not a statement of a universal desire of God for all men to come to repentance. This is not all men without exception. This is a promise of God made to the usward, made to the people of God. That is, this world is not going to be destroyed. Not until all of God's elect are gathered safely into the fold of salvation. Now, there is a blood-bought group of people in the world, and some of them undoubtedly haven't even been born yet. But these are the vessels of mercy God chose in grace before the world ever began. He gave them to Jesus Christ the Lord for safekeeping. About 2,000 years ago, the great surety of the sheep, the shepherd, He came and He laid down His life for the sheep. He redeemed His people. For His people He brought an everlasting righteousness. His blood washed away all of the sins of those that the Father gave Him in the covenant of grace. And now the Spirit of God, using the gospel of God's grace, goes forth through the preaching, the ministry of preaching, and God takes the word of the Lord and He drives it to the heart, and men are quickened from the dead. They're brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're brought to repentance, repentance toward God. That is, they turn from their idols. Amen. To believe the living God. This world is indeed doomed. There is going to be an apocalypse. There is going to be a destruction of this old world, but that will not happen until all of the sheep are brought to the shepherd. Amen. Then the end will come. Let's keep reading. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, verse 10, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is absolutely going to pass. In light of this, he says in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Those of you who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those of you who love the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, let us set ourselves apart unto God. Set ourselves apart unto the gospel. Let us strive to do the revealed will of God, seeking to send forth the gospel of His grace every opportunity that we have. Amen. Knowing that the end is coming. Verse 12 says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, who are the we? The ones that he's not willing should perish. Who are the we? The sons of God. Who are the we? The chosen vessels of mercy. Who are the we? The redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are the we? All of those who brought to confess Christ is Lord and believe on him in the heart. Nevertheless, we, according to God's promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth nothing but righteousness. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day when nothing shall dwell upon this earth or in heaven but absolute perfection. All of the people of God being made perfect in Jesus Christ. Yes, there is a great apocalypse coming. But that's not the main meaning of the word revelation. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. That's not the main meaning of it. And it shows you how people today can take a word and make it mean what they want it to mean. This word revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, its main meaning is not some cataclysmic judgment that is going to come to pass. There's no question about that. We just read it. But that's not the main meaning of the word. That's what's going to happen when our Lord Jesus comes back. There will be destruction of these things. When we read of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we need to think of it as God is revealing his Son. You see, not only this book, in my Bible it says, the revelation of St. John the Divine. Now, the titles of the books aren't inspired. Here's the title of the book. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelations of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation. It's one revelation that has to do with many things. But it's one revelation of one person. And that one person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only, I would suggest to you, is that the appropriate title, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is not only the appropriate title for the last book of the Bible, that's an appropriate title for all of the Bible. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Because this book is a disclosure. It is an unveiling. It is taking the cover off. It is enabling us to see and to believe and to glory in this second person of the Trinity whom God has sent into the world, whom the Spirit of God reveals to our hearts. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word means manifestation. Manifestation. It's used that way, and I'll just read it to you in Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And here's what that verse means. There are lots of people today who profess to be Christians. Multitudes who profess to be the sons of God. But there is coming a day when there's going to be a supernatural disclosure. There's going to be an unveiling. There's going to be a making known, a taking the cover off of. There's going to be a manifestation of just exactly who are the people of God. Are you one of the people of God? Sometime in the future, our Lord Jesus is coming back. And all of creation groans for this. That's in the context there in Romans chapter 8. For the manifestation of the sons of God. And when the Son of God comes back to this world, that's when it will be supernaturally disclosed. It will be revealed who are the people of God. Take this word manifestation then and put it right here in the place of revelation, because this presents to us another shade of the meaning of revelation. You could say it's the manifestation of Jesus Christ. A making him known. And isn't that necessary in our hearts? Doesn't he have to be made known to our hearts? And who is it that makes the Lord Jesus known to our hearts but the Spirit of grace? Our Lord Jesus said, I will send another comforter. He won't speak of himself. He'll speak of me. He'll show you things of mine. He manifests to us who the true Christ is. You see, there are lots of false Christs in this world. There's lots of false Jesuses in this world. All you got to do is turn the television on, listen to most all those preachers on the television. They're talking about another Jesus. Turn on your radio to some of these so-called gospel stations, these so-called Christian stations. They'll tell you about another Jesus. But that which is necessary is for there to be a manifestation of the real Christ to our hearts. And God uses the gospel for that. Indeed, this word revelation means the appearing of Jesus Christ. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Peter says, chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, or at the revelation of Jesus Christ, or at the manifestation of Jesus Christ. He is going to appear again. He is going to appear again. You remember when our Lord ascended back to glory. And it's recorded, of course, at the end of the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Matthew. But I'm thinking particularly of Acts chapter 1, when the disciples watched him ascend into heaven. And the angel said to them, "Ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen ascend into heaven shall so come again in like manner as you've seen him go." He will make another appearance. There is going to be a manifestation of the Son of God. There is going to be a revelation of the Son of God. Someday he is coming back. He is coming back. And that passage we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, you know, people mock and people still mock. Where is the promise of his coming? All of these years have gone by, he hasn't come back. And all of you people who say you believe him, you say he is going to return to this earth. There is going to be a judgment. There will be cataclysmic things that will happen upon this earth, because this earth is going to be destroyed by fire, by God. Man's not going to destroy it. God's going to destroy it. He's going to renovate it. They say, well, how come he hadn't come back yet? Where is the promise of his appearing? Where is the promise of his manifestation? Where is the promise of his revelation? Well, the promise is in the Word. And that time when he will come back, that's hidden in the heart of God. No man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming back. And don't make the mistake of looking for signs. There are no signs to be given. I just read to you from 2 Peter. He will come as a thief in the night when men don't expect him. And yet the people of God, we live, or we should live, in daily expectation of his coming. We should, as it were, stand on the very tiptoes of faith. As we hear him say, "Behold, I come quickly." And then we say with John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, come, come and take us unto yourself. Come and end sin in us forever. Come and rid us of this pollution, of this corruption. Come and wipe out sin and opposition and rebellion to you. Wipe it off the face of the earth. Oh, Lord Jesus, even so, come today, and gather us unto yourself. Oh, how glorious that day will be. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, and every eye shall see him. This is not going to be a secretive coming. It's not going to be a private coming. It's going to be very public. Very public. Every eye shall see him when Christ Jesus comes back in his glory. And every knee shall bow before him. And every tongue shall confess he's the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, he is going to make another appearance in this world. When he comes back, he's going to first of all snatch his elect unto himself. The souls of those who are united with him now shall return with him. And he will raise their bodies from the graves. Their souls shall come back together. And those of us who are alive when he comes back, if this generation is alive, he will change us. We won't go before those who've died in the faith. They shall be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain, we shall all be changed. Well, how fast is that going to happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How fast can you blink your eye? That's how fast it'll happen. Well, how can that ever happen, preacher? The same God who did the absolute unthinkable, saving your filthy soul from hell, from the grave, and from sin, saving me by his grace, by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same power that brought to pass the creation of the heaven and the earth, the same power that brought to pass the regeneration of our souls, giving us life in Christ Jesus, he's going to raise everybody and change everything in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And it'll all be over. It'll all be over. He's coming back. That's another meaning of this word revelation. Appearing. He's going to make another appearance. Another appearance. I'll give you another meaning of this word. Another shade of the meaning of this word. Revelation. Go to Luke, the second chapter. And this is all we're doing this morning. I'm just sort of trying to enlarge upon this word revelation to give you the different shades of meaning in the scriptures. It's a manifestation, a making known, an unveiling, an uncovering. It means appearing. And now go over here to Luke, the second chapter. This is when Joseph and Mary bring the infant Jesus to do for him according to the law. When he was 8 days old, he was named. They took him to the temple to be circumcised. And then notice in verse 22, and when the days of her purification, Luke 2:22, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting or looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. It was uncovered to him. It was disclosed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. He honored God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten, to reveal. That's the word revelation. A light to reveal the Gentile, to reveal truth to the Gentiles, that which is implied. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. A light to lighten. So the word revelation means to enlighten. And we speak of, and correctly so, the necessity of Christ Jesus being revealed to us. We have to be enlightened. The things of God have to be made manifest to us, don't they? They don't come naturally to us. They have to be made manifest to us. They have to, all of a sudden, make an appearance to us. Because remember, just like the appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, that's the word revelation. Here he's talking about enlightening people. So there has to be an appearance of the Spirit of God and the gospel of God to us. The Lord has to make an appearance to us. He has to make a manifestation of the gospel to us. There is no salvation apart from a manifestation of the gospel, apart from an enlightenment by the Spirit of God. We've got to be enlightened. Why do we have to be enlightened? Well, it's because we're in the dark. Who needs light? People who are in the dark. And that's the way we all are by nature. We're in spiritual darkness. We need a revelation of the truth. We need a manifestation of the truth. We need the truth to appear to us, to make itself known to us. We need to be enlightened. That's what Christ Jesus is. This is what he says. He's a light to enlighten or lighten the Gentiles. The Gentiles, the glory of his people Israel. Is he not called the light? He's the light of the world, Christ Jesus is. Here we are in our darkness. What does darkness indicate in the Bible? What's darkness a type of or a figure of in the Bible? Error? Ignorance? Evil? Sinfulness? We have to be enlightened. Oh God, enlighten us. Oh Spirit of God, make an appearance to us of the truth. Make to us a manifestation of the truth. Reveal the truth to us. Go to Matthew chapter 11. And we dealt with this not too long ago in Matthew chapter 11. Look at what the Lord says here about revealing the truth. Revealing the truth. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them. You've made them manifest. Your truth has made an appearance to these babes. A revelation. You've revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Revelation. Oh, we need a revelation. A revelation of what? Well, it's not really a revelation of what, but it's a revelation of who. You see, here's the title of it over here, again in Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We don't need a revelation of what? We need a revelation of somebody. And here's the thing. If he's not revealed to us, if he isn't made manifest to us, If God doesn't enlighten us as to who Jesus Christ is and what He did, the necessity of Him doing all that He did, if He doesn't enlighten us, if there is not a revelation of Jesus Christ, a manifestation of Jesus Christ to the heart, if He doesn't make Himself known to us, if He doesn't disclose Himself to us, if He doesn't uncover Himself to us, we won't ever know Him. It's absolutely impossible. We need a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let me show you something. In the New Testament, this statement is only found three times. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's only found three times in all of the New Testament. Let me give them to you real quick. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 13. It's only found three times in the New Testament. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And now we have a more of an understanding of the meaning of the word revelation. Manifestation, appearing, a disclosure, an enlightening. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Be sober. Sober about the things of God. Sober about your soul. Sober about eternity. Sober about salvation. You know the sad thing, one of the sad things in this world, so many people are inebriated with a false gospel. They're drunk. We need to be made sober. Sober-minded. Be sober. And a hope to the end for the grace of God, or literally because of the grace of God that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Certainly we now enjoy and appreciate the grace of God that's brought to us in the gospel. Electing grace, redeeming grace, justifying grace, pardoning grace, adopting grace. In short, salvation as being all of grace. For this gospel is the revelation of the grace of God to sinners in Jesus Christ. It's a revelation that is made of Himself. And it's a revelation that is made of Himself by Himself to us. That is, He has to reveal Himself to us. It is a revelation, a manifestation of the glory of His person and of His offices. And here He says, be sober in hope to the end because of the grace. Live in expectation because of the grace that is given to you, it's brought to you, and will continue to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When our Lord makes His appearance in this world, then we shall enjoy the fullness of His grace in that we'll be glorified. You think of the grace that God has poured into us thus far. And there's more to come. There's more to be realized. There's a perfection that we don't have now. There's a glorification that we haven't experienced yet. Oh, we've experienced much of the grace of God, His justifying grace. We will never be any more justified than we are right now. Did you know that? We're justified in Christ Jesus by the grace that is freely given to us. But someday we're going to enjoy the fullness of His grace when we're glorified and we're with Christ Jesus in heaven itself. This is all going to happen at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me give you the second time it's used, or another time it's used, and that's in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says in Galatians chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 11. He says, but I certify you, brethren, Literally, I want you to understand that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's one of the three times it's used in the New Testament. Now let me read the rest of the context and I'll come back to that. For ye have heard of my conversation, my manner of living in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal, to uncover, to disclose, to make manifest, to appear unto me, to enlighten me to his Son, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But go back there to verse 12. Speaking of this gospel, he says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what we need. This is what you need, if it hasn't happened to you already. You need a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Savior himself to reveal himself. It's like when, you remember when our Lord walked along the road to Emmaus and he walked with those two disciples. And you know what? He made himself known to them. He disclosed himself. He unveiled himself to them. They didn't know him. They didn't recognize. Listen, the God of grace and glory shows mercy to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is only in him. He is all of God's salvation. In fact, he is salvation himself. But people don't know him. They don't recognize him. They don't recognize him. There are lots of false Jesuses. I said that a while ago. In the world, lots of false Christ. There's one true Christ. And he has to introduce himself to you. That we'll never know him. We will never know him in the fullness of his power and of his grace unless he reveals himself. There must be a manifestation of himself to us. We live, and you know this is the truth, we live in the day of decisional religion. We're not talking about decisional religion here. We're talking about a revelation or the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's far different from you making a decision. You see, you making a decision, that's something you do. That makes salvation dependent upon you. It's a salvation conditioned upon you. But this salvation of God is dependent upon the revelation of Jesus Christ to your heart and to my heart. He must manifest himself. He must enlighten us. He must make an appearance within us. He must unveil himself. He must uncover himself. If he doesn't do that, if he doesn't reveal himself to us, we will never know him. Amen. God help us. God help us to flee to the Savior. But we won't. We won't. Apart from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then the last time it's mentioned, indeed, is back here in our text. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'll say again, the book of God, especially this last book, but all of the book of God, all of the Bible, the singular theme, the subject and message of the entire Bible is Jesus Christ and him crucified. In the Old Testament, we see his person, we see his work set forth in pictures and figures and typologies and that sort of thing. In the New Testament, we see him set forth in person. Oh, God, give us a revelation of your Son. I'm not asking you, have you made your decision for Jesus? I'm asking you, has the Son of God revealed himself to you? And when he reveals himself, it's in his glory and in his majesty. And then you fall down and you worship him and you adore him. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's sing two.